how to navigate the uncertain times we are currently experiencing globally. My today's guest is a researcher, award-winning author, and Hall of Fame speaker, Meredith Elliott Paul, the CEO of Motion First, an innovative company designed to help organizations, professionals, and entrepreneurs turn uncertainty into competitive advantage. In this episode, we discuss how political, economic changes, and AI are impacting markets and how you can turn uncertainty into opportunity. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you're making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast. It's your host, Ivana Ivanek. I'm so grateful you're tuning in today. It is not a secret that we are currently going through very disruptive times, politically, economically. At the same time, everything is shifting so fast. AI taking the lead and profoundly changing the market. At the same time, the transformation industry becoming more saturated, yet sophisticated. And the question so many of you are asking is, does it even pay off to continue building and start building? I have invited an expert in this topic, and I can't wait to deep dive into this conversation to give you guidance, a roadmap, how to navigate uncertain times. Welcome to the show, Meredith.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I think I couldn't wish for a better conversation partner on this topic. I think it's not only very timely, but very important to speak about these things, because thinking back, let's say the times of the pandemic, where everything seemed so easy, which it wasn't, but it seemed compared to today easier. The transformation industry, the digital space was so new to many. There was so much curiosity. Now that we saw that things are working out, that this is becoming our future, things have changed, and so did the times. And I just would like to start our conversation with you telling us how you even got to the point of teaching and helping people to uncertain times, because you have started your business in the middle of market instability.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. You know, way back in 2016, I was just talking with customers, clients, as many of us do, just listening to them. Tell me how things are, how's business, how are things going? And everybody was saying the same thing. I'm having my best year on record, because in 2016, things were fairly stable. I mean, this was before COVID, before we really had market volatility, you know, those types of things. But everybody, same thing, but oh, this uncertainty. They were worried about what might come. And I just thought, why does uncertainty always have to be a negative? Like, why do we always view it as a bad thing? And what would happen in our businesses and our lives if we flipped the script on that, if we just started to see it as opportunity? And then I started to think, Ivana, every so many years, doesn't the world kind of experience some type of turmoil? I mean, we've had world wars, economic depression, I mean, all those types of things. And in your world, out of great adversity is where transformation is built. It's where it blooms. Just look at nature.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I mean, it goes in the area of business, but it's also private life. Yeah. Every area of our lives is constantly changing, whether we want it or not. And it's always imposed externally. We don't even have to make always a decision to pursue change, but it will happen whether we want it or not. And I think this goes for all of us, that change is something very scary. So many people fear the smallest change. And looking at these times now, there is not such a thing like small change. Like, things are changing rapidly. What was your experience in these conversations when people said that they fear uncertainty? Why do we even put, you know, that in our heads to be like something bad is about to come?
Yeah, I think it comes down to number one, I think it comes down to the fact that I think that the moment you think about uncertainty and the moment you think of it as negative, you literally move to the part of your brain that shuts down creativity and innovation, the things that you need to turn uncertainty to opportunity. So the very fear showing up limits your ability to tap into what you naturally have to turn uncertainty to opportunity. I think the other really amuses me, and that is that we wait for change to happen rather than to get in shape for change. Like I always ask in a room, an audience, I'll always say, how many of you believe that if we came right back into this room this time next year, everything would be exactly the same? Nobody raises their hand. And I'll say, so if you know change is coming, why don't you get ready for that change? You know, like if you and I were going to run a marathon, we wouldn't go run one tomorrow. We'd get on a training program. We'd get ready for it. And we know change is going to happen and we don't get ready for it. And I think if we were in better shape, we wouldn't mind it as much.
I have two questions that are rising here, Meredith. Like, we know change is coming. This is has always been confirmed. How can we look at what change is coming, how to predict change, and in what direction to prepare if we are navigating the unknown? In the case of the marathon, if everybody has run a marathon or have seen people running a marathon, we know what to expect. We know how to prepare for it. But if you look at the economy and specifically these times, how do we know what might be coming and how to look at predictions?
Yeah, you know, the thing is that you don't have to be exactly right with what's coming. I mean, the very first time you run a marathon, you kind of know what to expect, but you don't know how you'll feel at 5 miles. You don't know how you'll feel at 20. You're taking, experts' advice on nutrition and things. So we use a tool in my world, and I teach leaders how to get their teams in shape for change. And the tool is called a skeptic. And what I tell people is every few months, why don't you brainstorm how society is changing, how competition is changing, how are we changing economically, politically, technology, industry, customers? That's the acronym. And just the very fact of saying, well, gosh, if they, if something happens with interest rates or there's a global, these wars keep happening, how does it impact us positively or negatively? I tell people to do it in their personal lives too. Like if you have aging parents, at some point they're going to need taken care of. Now you can wait until they need taken care of because you don't know it's going to happen exactly at 83, or you can get prepared now for for that. You can make the steps and get ready. I mean, so you don't have to know the exact change. What you have to do is talk about it, think about it, and predict it one way or the other. The beauty of it, Ivana, is that the more you talk about it, the more you can turn a threat into an opportunity.
I hear you. The example with aging parents is perfect here because we also don't know how our parents will age. We don't know
You know what I mean?
the illnesses they might get. We don't know the obstacles they might be going through, the hurdles for caregivers or in terms of preparation. But there can be structures built. Is that what you mean? That can
Yeah.
support us navigating that time. Absolutely. And you said that uncertainty is nothing, no, not something to fear, but something to leverage. And I think here we need to deep dive a little bit into our thinking and mindset shift because I hear this so often. I grew up as an immigrant family, communist background, so there was not much possibility. And whenever something changes, and this was the work that I had to do over so many years, more than a decade, to start thinking differently. But whenever something changes, or I want to change something, the first thing that pops up in my mind, because it's such an old pattern, is, but that's not possible. How are you making people think differently? How can you help us through that? Not to be the first thought, it's not possible, this is going to be difficult, but rather being curious about what the future brings.
Yeah, so it's such a good you have such an extreme example, but I really feel like society in general limits you. I mean, the moment, I look at television commercials or I look at television shows or I look at the way the news talks, and it's always somebody else's fault you're not successful. It's not your fault. The conditions
Absolutely, yes.
were against you. And I think that's so cruel because the moment that you realize, to what extreme everything's your fault, that's where you have the power to control. That's where you have the power of possibility because the power lies within you. So there's one step that I think if people took nothing else from this podcast that I think is so critical. I wish I'd learned this as a young child, the importance of a vision. And the importance of relentlessly focusing on that vision. If you got up with me in the morning, you would see that the very first thing I do is grab a cup of coffee. I come upstairs to my office and I read my vision. It's where I see my life, where I see my business, where I see my health, my finances, and my relationships 1 year from now. I read it again at lunchtime and I read it again before I shut my office down. At night. And the reason I do that is because the brain is wired for negativity. The brain is wired for to find risk and threat and to limit us because that's the world we used to live in, right? And so you've got to rewire the brain, and you rewire the brain with the clarity of knowing where you're going and focusing on that. Now, I listened to a podcast this morning that said I'd increase my ability to achieve by 43% if I'd write it down. So today I started writing my vision down 3 times a day. But it's a very simple vision. It's just what I see. And I was thinking the other day, one of the things on my vision is was really impossible. Like I never thought it would accomplish. And I've accomplished. I just can't even believe it. So I think we have not tapped the power of the brain, but in keeping with the theme of the podcast, you got to get it in shape. You got to work it. You got to really, really say, nope, I'm pulling this brain back to what's possible and be okay with the fact that it gets sidetracked. That's fine. Got to pull
It's
it back.
given.
Yeah, it's okay. We all have negative thoughts. We have probably a gazillion more than we have positive, but it's whether we catch them or not.
I mean, I'm catching myself in this too. It's things go astray, and I think more things go astray than actually the way we want it or the way we have imagined it. And taking a day of a woman, like there are. Like I'm going through 6 personalities in a day, and each personality thinks different about my vision, depending how I woke up, what I did the previous day, and how the focus is. Like currently being in the midst of changing countries again, although private life gets very disruptive, and then keeping that focus on that vision that we need to have and keep so vividly in our brains, and shutting down society and everybody around you who is not on your path or doesn't support you, I think is very, very crucial. And I think one of the most difficult things when we speak about entrepreneurship, building businesses, and having visions and being a visionary, paving paths forward where people haven't been walking on yet. And I think this is also where leadership comes in. And I think you wrote a book, Meredith, Drive, Leading in Uncertain Times. Could you take us through the new rules of leadership? Because I think as everything is highly changing, also leadership is changing.
Leadership is changing so much. I think I liken it a lot to raising children. If you have children, your job, like your is, I've got to make this child a productive adult. So you lead them, you build their skills to be ready for what is coming next. As a leader, you have to lead that team for what is coming next. And that's what Thrive is focused on. I mean, number one, you've got to help them learn to adapt their perspective. You've got to help them see uncertainty and change as not only a positive, but something that they need to deal with all the time. Like, don't ever let them get comfortable in what they're doing. Constantly be building that muscle of agility. And that's where we use that skeptic tool. Make them talk about change all the time. Make them tell you how they think, if these tariffs came through, how that might impact their business. If there was, another war in Europe, if, somebody doesn't get Putin under control, like what impact could that be on our lives and our businesses? Make them talk about that. Make them talk about AI so that they're comfortable with change happening. The other is going to sound a little bit crazy in this high-tech world, but
We
it's
like crazy
focus.
here.
Yeah. Focus on people and relationships. I mean, the thing that is going to get you through through uncertainty is the connections that you have. And you've really got to build that network internally and externally to your organization. I always say to people, when you are presented with adversity, the first question should not be, what do I need to do? It should be, who do I need to be working with? Who could I collaborate with that could help me solve this process, this problem, more effectively? And the last step is to collaborate with process, to use processes and systems that make sure you're efficient, not busy. Because I think one of the biggest challenges is uncertainty, is we continue to do the things we've always done rather than do things that are different. And leaders, you can't add things to our plate without helping us learn what to take off of that plate. And so leaders have got to help their teams get ready for what is coming next.
Just mentioned something very importantly. The first question shouldn't be, how can I solve this, but who can I ask to either help me? Who can I collaborate with? Looking at the conversation that I'm having globally, this is one of the biggest hurdles women in leadership roles or women who are building businesses who are stepping into that role of, I'm going to build something on my own terms. Having huge struggles asking for help because we are stepping into a role that is still not very, how to put this the best, it's still not very established. Women in leadership roles are still roles that are fighting to be seen, fighting to be heard, fighting to be respected and accepted in any marketplace, maybe the corporate world or in the business world. Do you have a tip for us how to stand up and speak our voices? Because I know you've been in finance, in banking, in healthcare, as a C-suite executive, in also man-dominated departments. Give us a tip, how can we navigate it a little bit more easier or learn to ask for help?
Yeah, I think it's so interesting that as women, I was in a very male-dominated world, and I spent a lot of years not serving myself in order to move in order to move forward. And so I think it's so interesting that as females, we are quite frankly incredibly talented. You cannot raise our hand and go for what we want. And there's a couple of things. There. Number one is that you do need to learn. You've got to get clear on what you want, and you need to learn to ask for what you want. It's the biggest thing that I learned from working with men years ago in corporate America, and I foolishly thought that if I worked hard, my boss would notice. And when he didn't notice, I worked harder. And when he didn't notice, then I got very passive aggressive, which was completely undermining my ability to get promoted. And I looked around and I just realized all the guys around me who were working half as hard as I was were all getting promoted. And I had a girlfriend tell me one night, we were out for a glass of wine, and she said, "Why don't you need to ask for what you want?" I was so insulted. I was like, people should notice what I do. Why do I have to ask for what I want? But I went home, I thought about it, and I took her advice. And I went back into my boss and I said, I'm for all the opportunity you give me. I love my job. You rely on me for everything. I don't want any of that to change, but I see a future for myself at this company. And because I see a future for myself, I want to know what I'm not doing, what you need from me. Tell me the rules so I can get promoted. And what happened was he was just used to people asking for what they wanted. And it taught me such a valuable lesson. I always laugh with women. I tell them, I'm married to a wonderful man. I've been married 20 years. He is the best. But my husband is not romantic, not a single. On Valentine's Day, the last card available. It's been a huge fight in our relationship forever. And then one day I just decided to take my own advice. And if you walked into our house, you would see a table right here. And on this table is a jar. And in that jar is every romantic thing that I can think of to do. And once a month, my husband pulls something out of that jar and does it for me. And I pretend to be surprised. And that is such a great, rather than spending my life fighting with him or trying to make him something he isn't, I needed to focus on all the amazing things he is. And if I'm not getting something, ask for it. And so it's the biggest thing is that it's that you have a choice. You can get angry, you can get passive aggressive, focus on those things you can't control, or you can say, what do I need? And ask for it. And 99.9% of the time, you are going to get it. It completely changed my life.
Absolute and answers we have not expected. I always say people to reach out to people they who they can compare their lives in the future. So if you want to be there,
Yes.
ask that person, how have you done it? My DMs are co constantly open for these conversations. And believe it or not, one single question can change your entire path, your entire thinking. If you get that answered correctly, it can change everything for you. It can, it's just that courage that we have not to ask for help, not to ask for advice, because somehow we were taught, to do it all ourselves, and that's no longer the case. I don't think.
No, my mother always taught me. She said, "Don't bother people." And
Oh, yeah.
it's so funny. It isn't bothering. It isn't bothering
No,
people.
I think somebody who has intellectual property knowledge, wisdom, and experience that could help you is proud to deliver that on every
Yes.
stage of their life. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go back
Yeah.
to business, Meredith. Speaking of the transformation industry, the way you look at it now and the way how you navigate uncertainty changes. If someone would ask you, shall I start a brand new business in the transformation industry as a coach? What would be your answer?
Absolutely. I think that the most uncertain times are the best time to start a business. And there's
Why
a
is that?
couple of because people need you now more than they ever needed you. When people, the very people that you're trying to serve are they truly need you right now. And a couple of things happen. Most people exit the market when the market gets tough. It's also easier to do business right now. But I'm going to say only start this business if you are so motivated from your heart. This has to be mission driven. And what I mean by that is I am not running a business only. That's secondary. It is what I am on a mission in life to help people embrace uncertainty and turn it into opportunity. And so if you really believe that transformation can benefit and change people's lives, oh my God, they need you now more than they have ever needed you. People are stuck. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to get through this. I mean, I can't think of anything better to do right now than to be a transformation coach because people are trying to transform. The entire world is going crazy right now with layoffs, with people having health issues, with all types of things. And people need you, but it has to be driven from your heart, or it's going to be too hard to make a go of it.
I hear you. This is something what you also said. I read it in the little piece you wrote me, applying to speak with me on the show, which I really loved because you were speaking about changing our mindset or shifting our thinking towards, not building a business on outdated models. Which I see it both two ways. You can build a business, you can hustle hard, you can produce something that doesn't spark your soul, can be a little screw that is needed for the next car to be built, and you can do that very strategically, very successfully. And when we think at the world today with the opportunities we are having with reaching buyers beyond borders, doing everything digitally and still be able to see proximity on events and seeing, people personally, looking at those opportunities, we also the world is creating something that is very, 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 very funny to other people when we look like at the generations of my parents and grandparents, where they see these are not real jobs anymore. This is too fancy. This is something people cannot grasp really. And there is a
Yeah.
lot that comes back to us, giving us the impression that we don't want to work so hard anymore. We just want to be in front of Zoom having amazing conversations with amazing leaders globally, because this is how people look at me. you're talking to people all the time and having fun, I'd say yes, because this is something that I'm seeking so badly in my life, and the mission that I have is to make people think differently and change their lives. How do you see that? How do you see now, especially in the transformation into the digital era, hustle and mission? How do they
Yeah,
correlate?
how they correlate, because I think mission makes you hustle. Like it's I
Hustle without
always,
hustle? Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So it's when you're mission driven, you want to get up, you want to go to work, you want to make calls, you don't mind rejection. I mean, it's part of it because you're like, okay, yeah, get it, whatever. Like, not now's not the right, now's not the right time for you, or I didn't approach the right person. I always say to people, like, if I came to your town and I said, where should I go have dinner? You would jump at the idea of giving me, like, oh, you should try this restaurant, it's the best. And you wouldn't be married to which one I went to. You wouldn't be vested in it. But in business, if you're not mission driven, then you're coming from a place, it's about you. It's not about getting the message out and serving the client. And that's when I've known whether I've been doing the right thing or not doing the right thing. When I felt like, oh my gosh, I've got to give you this information because I know it can change your life, then I just become Teflon to working too hard, or I become Teflon to being rejected because it's just, I want to do it. I think all the time about a video I want to shoot or a blog I want to write or things like that because I'm excited about it. I want to share this information. And that's where you've got to be with this.
That's why I love having these conversations. It's something that truly it drives you. Like I couldn't wait to wake up and meet Meredith and meet somebody else in the afternoon and bringing these conversations to the road so people can get the most out of it and just see also what is possible beyond what they think is possible and what still most of the society will tell you is possible, although so many are doing it, but there are so many people who still haven't seen people dancing on TikTok, and it's yet the, I would say if you missed it in 2022, go do it now because it's still ongoing and it's still the market is still growing.
That's right. That's right. But you've got to run a business from a place of wanting to give. I mean, that's what's going to serve you. That's what's going to sustain you. That's what's going to make being an entrepreneur, being a coach, running it through the toughest times that there are, because you're just moved to make a difference in people's lives, and you know they need it.
And I think this is a very intentional choice. And this is something when we, it's hard to serve humanity and making this world a better place when everything around you goes astray. This is where leadership comes in. And this is also where our mental fitness comes in. And another book I would like to touch on is Mentally Fit that you wrote, where you're teaching us the nine strategy formula for driving in your personal life. Because what I have noticed the last 2 years specifically, how I see personal branding is not that I see personal branding as a foundation of value and what you want to be known for rather than just your expertise, because this opens up the funnel to more audiences and allows us to pivot easier when we have to pivot, which also brings personal life aspects into your personal brand where people connect through emotionally. The truth is, it's not easy to be seen. It's not easy to navigate everything that we are navigating publicly and be a public figure. And I think being mentally fit is something that we don't only do in our personal life, but can we even disconnect business and life nowadays? Is it the same? Do we have to try to separate it strictly? Like I'm going out of my office and then it's over, otherwise it will get mentally exhausting.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever been able to separate business and personal. I think that was a fallacy that we were sold a long time ago. The truth is, if my personal life is a mess, I'm bringing that into the office. And if I can't figure it out at the office, I'm taking that at home. I mean, I think there's five areas of your life that impact your ability to be successful. I think it's your health. I think it's your finances. I think it's your relationship. I think it's I think it's business, and I think it's your spirituality, whatever that is for you. But I think you have to be progressing in every area in order to be in order to be successful. And the reason I wrote Mentally Fit was twofold. Number one is when I finished the book Thrive and I was sending it to the publisher, I was like, the Great Depression didn't end at 5 o'clock. I mean, people still had to deal with things when they went home. So couldn't this apply to your personal life as well? It's filled with so much uncertainty. But the second piece is that I feel like we're trying to help people navigate uncertainty by teaching them how to be soft. And what I mean by that is that we allow them to do things they don't want to do, like not coming back into the office for work, or to, here in the US, we let people opt out on their student loans because the debt was just too much. I mean, those types of things. When the truth is, life is tough. It just is hard. Stuff is going to happen to you. Isn't an excuse as to why you don't have to face that obstacle. It is, what are the tools and resources you need to get through that obstacle? On the phone with a young woman who, client I work with, whose company's going through some really bad stuff right now, and she's really discouraged with leadership. And I listened to her and I said, we've got to divide this into two buckets. Tell me everything you're upset about, and let's divide it into what you can control and what you can't control. Because life is about focusing on what you can control and forgetting about the rest. It's not about making excuses for what happens to you. It's not about making excuses or being resentful that it isn't fair what happened to you. That's life. Figure out how to make it work. That's what that book is about. Little tough message, but I love it because I look at my own life and I'm six male members of my family, including my first husband, all died of alcohol addiction. And that's not fair. It just isn't fair that I had to go through all that. And I spent the first 32 years of my life wallowing in the fact that that wasn't fair. And that kept me stuck. It wasn't until the fact that I dealt with the mess that my life had become that I turned things around and found what I found right now. So I don't think being a victim serves you.
Thank you for sharing this vulnerable experience you have made. I can relate to the having alcohol addiction in my family as well, and having to learn to navigate to love my family from the distance,
Yeah,
physically and mentally. And I think when we can, and I truly see how the private areas of my life are impacting my productivity, my focus, and unfortunately, the outcome in my business.
yes.
And it's just really two things that we cannot get out of, I don't know, out of our systems, because it is so personal, especially when we say it's a mission-driven business. It's something that we want to serve, and you can only serve from this, as you said, softest and most clear space of your heart. If there is a mess, then we radiate that mess into all our areas of life. I think it's a wonderful book. And even if the message is tough, I think sometimes we need to hear tough. You're like, sugar
I
coating, it didn't help anyone.
well, the problem, like I had just spent years going to therapists who validated that what had happened in my life was unfair. And while that's okay, it just didn't serve me. Like I kept repeating the patterns. And it wasn't until somebody said, you're going to need to, if you don't want this life, you need to change it. And that was hard. I didn't know how to change it, but I had a vision of where I wanted it. And I just focused on that vision. And somehow I found my way out. But thank God that person showed up in my life and showed me no sympathy. They were empathetic, but they were not sympathetic. And they said, put your big girl pants on. Get out of this. If this isn't what you want, change it. And that was the first time that it really. I saw what was possible for my life. I wasn't stuck because what had happened to me. I was stuck because I was allowing what had happened to me to define me. And until I changed that, I couldn't move on. So.
Which brings me directly back to the beginning of our conversation, the fear of change. How would you navigate change today? I think you have a very specific thought on that. and
Yeah.
the fear of change and how to look at it differently.
Yeah. So, number one is to shift your mindset to believe that change always leads to opportunity. You know, one of my favorite sayings from, I live in Asheville, North Carolina. It's kind of a woo-woo capital of the world. So, we go to a lot of woo-woo spiritual things here. But one of my favorite sayings that I heard a teacher say was, the only way out is through. And I love that is that when the obstacle is in front of you that you don't like, the only way to get to the other side is to go through the obstacle. And so you've got to have that vision where you see your life and be okay with the fact that sometimes you get knocked off the road. And another one of my favorite sayings is to trust the journey. I'm not sure why this is happening to me right now, but I know it's happening for me. It's not happening to me. And just those little, I'm really fascinated with the neuroscience of where our brain goes to help us through challenges. And you have control over that. You control how you see the challenges in front of you. And if you decide to see them as opportunity, your mind will find a way through that. So that's how I approach change and adversity. I say, I'm going to trust the journey. I don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to trust that it's good and that the only way out is through. There's something better for me on the other side.
And there is always something on the other side, I think. By the end of the day, all we have left is faith that tomorrow is going to be a better day and that we're going to get better out of it than today. So, this is something I really keep close to my heart when I go to sleep. Like, whatever was good today, it can be better tomorrow, and it will be. And it's in our power to take control of that, how we show up as leaders, how we serve the world, and how we carry oneself through our lives. Because I
So
think
true.
even if people are not, sometimes we have the impression, even if people are not really into business, because we meet so many people throughout the day. And I think when we move intentionally, we are creating change inadvertently. Like, even, if we consciously try someone to help, or just people looking at our lives and how we carry ourselves through lives and take an example of that, I think it can be very impactful. And I think this is what the world needs right now. Meredith, if someone wants to reach out to you, meet you, talk to you, where can we find you?
They can find me at my website, valuespeaker.com, just the words valuespeaker.com. Probably the social media channels I live on the most are Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm a big believer, build your network, it will change your life. So if you reach out to me, I will definitely connect.
Thank you so much, friends. You will have everything right in the show notes, so you can, with only one click, reach out to Meredith and honestly give yourself the permission to do so. I think we are always very hesitant
Yes.
to ask questions, to ask for help, and to reach out to people who can actually help us move forward, not only easier, but also faster. To round up this conversation, I would love to know from you, how are you planning on to spend your old years, Meredith?
Oh, I am planning on spending my old years being incredibly, incredibly active. I work very hard at my health, so I want to spend my older years definitely doing hiking the national parks, traveling as much as I can, and continuing to learn and to read. I don't know if I'll continue to work. I'm kind of letting that be up in the air, but we'll see.
I dare to say, like, you probably might, maybe not as today, but I think once you are on a mission to change the world, I don't think we can just so easily get that out of us and say, okay, I'm stopping.
That's probably true.
Thank you so much for being an incredible guest. I'm so grateful for you, for the knowledge you have brought to the show, and it has been my privilege to have this conversation.
Well, I've loved it as well. Thank you so much for having me on. Bye-bye.
If you're feeling invisible, having a hard time to break through the noise, inconsistent with creating content, not knowing what to say and how to say it, but deep down you know your message and your work can change people's lives, then listen up. I have created something so powerful for you. It's called the Magnetic Influence Accelerator, a high-touch group program that helps you build a personal brand and visibility strategy that works for you without being glued to your phone 24/7. This isn't about chasing trends or faking authority. It's about showing up clearly, consistently, so you attract clients, collaborations, podcast invites, and real opportunities that grow your business.
Inside the program, you will learn how to clarify your message and story so you always know what to say, create content that feels aligned, not forced, build trust through presence and not pressure, grow visibility beyond social media like pitching podcasts and guest posts. And you get coaching, feedback, and a supportive community so you're never doing it alone. Head over to the show notes. The link for more information is right below.